Good morning, Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
Well, I'm on my way. I don't know where I'm going. I'm on my way. I'm taking my time, but I don't know where. Goodbye to Rose, the queen of Corona.
Good morning, Pensacola. I'm John Hutchinson, filling in for Andrew McKay. It is 8:12 in the morning, and that music means, because it's Friday, it's time for Julio Diaz. He is the host of Pensacola Movie Club on Facebook and Let's Go Pensacola on Saturdays at 4 p.m. right here on this station, News Radio 92.3. Good morning, Julio.
Hey, good morning.
So I went to see A Complete Unknown, and I thought it was just fantastic. I'd like your thoughts on that, and then what are you watching this week?
Well, I loved A Complete Unknown. I saw it the week it came out here in Pensacola, which was a few weeks ago. I think it's a fantastic movie. I think that's borne out by all of the awards buzz that it's had so far. It's had several Golden Globe nominations and several Critics' Choice nominations. It's been nominated for some of the Screen Actors Guild Awards, and I believe it got a Writers Guild nomination this week as well. Of course, the award season is kind of in a little bit of a mess right now with everything that's going on with these horrible wildfires in California. So it's delayed the actual ceremony for the Critics' Choice Awards, which was going to take place last week, if I'm remembering correctly. They still haven't rescheduled it. The Oscar eligibility period has been extended, and you know, there's a lot of controversy about whether the Oscars should even go on or not, which I think they should, because too many people are financially dependent on them in that community. You know, people it takes about 1,000 people to put that on every year, and they all depend on that income. So,
and they've delayed the Oscar nominations too. They were supposed to come out today, right?
Yeah, they were originally supposed to. Today was originally supposed to be the end of the eligibility period, and I think they were going to announce them Monday originally, but they pushed it back. They're saying they're not going to push back the ceremony, though. The ceremony is still scheduled for the first weekend in March.
Good.
So we'll see. You know, I think everything, of course, depends on what happens out there in L.A. And of course, we're all thinking the best possible thoughts we can, and hoping that those fires can be brought under control.
Yeah, excellent. So what are you watching this week? What's new?
But in answer to your question, loved A Complete Unknown. I thought Timothy Chalamet was fantastic. I thought Edward Norton as Pete Seeger is fantastic. And I really loved Monica Barbaro as Joan Baez. Would love to see her getting a little more recognition than she's been getting. Fantastic movie.
Do you think it'll win any Oscar nominations?
It'll definitely get some nominations. It's a very competitive year, so I don't know about wins, but it'll definitely get some nominations.
What else do you expect to see in the nominations?
I mean, there's a lot of buzz about The Brutalist, of course, which hasn't opened here in Pensacola yet, but I have finally seen posters locally, so I think we're going to get it relatively soon. The Substance, I think, is going to get a lot of nominations, which was my favorite movie of 2024. Anora, which was also one of my very favorite movies of 2024, I think is going to get a lot of nominations. And I think we'll see a lot for Wicked, you know, which, again, maybe I really, really loved as well. But, you know, we just have to wait and see. Every once in a while, there's a curveball there.
Yeah. Hey, this is Julio Diaz, and we thank you for being with us this morning, Julio. He's the host of Pensacola Movie Club on Facebook. Let's Go Pensacola, Saturdays, 4 p.m., right here on News Radio 92.3. Thank you, Julio. We'll see you at the movies.
All right. Thank you.
All right, let's go to John Pickens with Traffic on the Fives.
That's right. No accidents to let you know about right now, but if you're traveling on the Garcelon Point Bridge and wondering why you're just stuck in traffic, there is congestion going on. There's construction, going on the southbound lane right now. So they've closed down the southbound lane, but they're trying to reroute cars through the northbound lane. But I'm seeing some delays if you're headed southbound on the Garcelon Point Bridge. Other than that, traffic looks good. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the Fives.
Sarah, Happy New Year. You look amazing. How are things with you and Mark?
Lisa, I can't thank you enough for telling me about Wave Men's Health. We've totally rediscovered each other. Mark's working out. Oh, and we're doing more as a family than laying around watching TV.
I told you, they're incredible. My husband and I had the same experience. It's like having that spark all over again, isn't it?
Exactly. It's more than the physical. It's the connection, the energy. It's the best gift we could have given ourselves.
This new year, make the resolution that changes it all. Wave Men's Health brings you proven options for ED, low testosterone, and enhancement. Reignite your drive, rebuild your confidence, and show up in the moments that matter most.
Here's to more love and more joy in the year ahead.
Cheers to that.
Book your appointment today at wavemenshealth.com or dial 850-266-7020. That's wavemenshealth.com or dial 850-266-7020. Wave Men's Health, making it happen.
Start your year in a new Subaru from Anderson Subaru. 2024 Crosstrek model starting at $25,262. 2024 Forester Wilderness model starting at $36,222. And 2025 Outback model start at $28,868. Love is out there. Find it at Anderson Subaru. Highway 29 just north of Car City, Pensacola. For details, call 877-554-9791.
Anderson's got a Subaru for you.
Pensacola Opera presents its 42nd season, starting with Mozart's The Marriage of Figaro, January 24th and 26th at the Sanger Theater in downtown Pensacola. Follow Figaro, the witty servant, as he outsmarts his master, the jealous Count Almaviva, while navigating a whirlwind of love, loyalty, and mischief. Whether you're a seasoned opera lover or a first-timer, The Marriage of Figaro offers something for everyone. Expect humor, tension, romance, and a dash of rebellion. Tickets available at PensacolaOpera.com.
Hey folks, this is Jimmy Petronas, Florida's Chief Financial Officer. Now, I just received an amazing phone call a few weeks ago that I want to tell you about. President Trump called me and said, "Jimmy, I want you to run for Congress." Wow. Yes, the guy who just won a landslide victory defeating the crazy Democrats in Washington, the guy who just got shot, stood back up and said, "Fight, fight, fight." That guy. President Donald J. Trump told me to run for Congress. Well, my mama didn't raise a dummy. So my response to the president was a very simple, "Yes, sir." I will run, and we will enact President Trump's agenda. We will secure the border. We will get rid of the woke foolishness in Washington. It's an honor of a lifetime to have President Trump's endorsement. The president can count on me, and so can you. I'm Jimmy Petronas, candidate for Congress, and I approve this message. I'd be honored to have your support on January 28th, paid for by friends of Jimmy Petronas, Inc.
Guy Benson, keeping you informed of the news every day at 2, right after Mark Van Camp and Robbins on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
We built this city. We built this city on rock and roll. We built this city. We built this city on rock and roll.
Good morning, Pensacola. I'm John Hutchinson, filling in for Andrew McKay. It is January the 17th. It is 8:19. I hope you've got your Friday off to a good start. The gallery night is tonight if you want to end your Friday in a good way on Palafox Street in downtown Pensacola. We've got a text in here I want to read. And if you want to text us, 850-437-1620. We interviewed Dave Greenwood out at Pensacola Beach, Pensacola Beach Safety Chief. And somebody says, "Dave Greenwood does a great job protecting our beaches." So thank you for that. He signed it Phil Woolley, so we all know who Phil is. So Phil, Dave appreciates that. We appreciate that, and we certainly appreciate the job that Dave does out at the beach, keeping us safe. Right now we have on the phone Alex Andrade. Alex has been a member of the House of Representatives in the state of Florida since 2018. He's serving his last two-year term. He was recently named the House Healthcare Budget Chief, which controls the largest piece of the state budget. Good morning, Andrew. Alex?
Good morning, John. How's it going?
It's going fine, so I can't remember your name. That's not true. Alex, the governor has called for a special session. I know there was some pushback, but is that a go?
I wouldn't necessarily call it pushback other than, you know, just like a reasserting of the separation of powers. We're going to do a ton on illegal immigration this year. We're going to execute on President Trump's agenda. Probably if I were to like guess everything that's gone on, I think you can chalk a lot of this up more to like the governor's sometimes inability to communicate like a normal human being.
Mm-hmm.
So I think we'll get there, and we'll solve the problems that most Floridians want to solve.
Well, I know that, you know, the governor, and believe me, I think Governor DeSantis has done a great job as far as governing the state of Florida. But I've kind of picked up a little bit that the mood between the legislature and the governor is a little bit more stand your ground, you stand your ground. I've got a job to do. You've got a job to do. I don't tell you how to do yours. You don't tell me how to do mine. I know the Senate and House leadership wrote a letter complaining about the special session, saying it was premature, not too early. But I know DeSantis is used to getting what he wants, and I don't want to make this sound like there's a big rift, but it sounds like the legislature is saying, hey, wait a minute, we're here too. We've got a role to play. Is that what's going on?
Well, I don't even know if we're saying that for the first time. You know, like the governor constitutionally always has a role to play in policymaking. You know, he can veto legislation. He has the line out of veto here in Florida, so we can veto segments of our budget out of our budget. But the legislature also has a major role to play. And, you know, if there's any policy change in law that he wants or any change in the budget that he wants, he can't veto what he's not spent. So there's aspects here that it's just a fact of the matter. You know, a lot of times people talked about, like, the legislature was giving the governor everything he wanted. There's some very big examples, major public examples, where we didn't, like with the congressional maps a few years ago and redistricting. But, I mean, on a day-to-day level, I mean, we've never stopped being a separate branch of government. I mean, I was a budget chief for the past 2 years with the DOT budget and Department of State and, you know, economic development budgets. I sit in the governor's office all the time.
Right.
It's just it wasn't public. Like it that, but that's my constitutional role. If I'm, you know, in charge of budget policy, and, you know, I'm just now in charge of a bigger segment of our budget.
So this was committee week in Tallahassee when everybody comes back and committees start meeting. So how's that going?
It's been going great. I had my first committee meeting, and we had the department heads of every agency that we oversee, you know, come and meet with us and talk about, you know, their agencies. And it was an opportunity to really get the members of the committee engaged in asking questions. So we had ACA, the Agency for Healthcare Administration. We had the Agency for Persons with Disabilities. We had DCF, Department of Children and Families. We had Department of Elder Affairs, Department of Health, and then we had the Department of Veterans Affairs. So those are the six agencies that I oversee.
Wow.
And whose budgets I draft. And it was just a good time to, you know, meet with them and get the rest of the committee engaged.
Well, Alex, first of all, congratulations on being named the healthcare budget chief. I think that's indicative of the leadership you've shown in Tallahassee, and I think that bodes well for not just Northwest Florida, but for all of Florida. So thank you for that, and congratulations on them recognizing your leadership ability and your leadership in the Florida legislature. So I know our budget's in good shape. So are you okay with the budget you're doing now?
Yeah, we're coming out of the COVID phase where the federal government was printing a lot of money. I mean, my hope, just like I'm assuming most people's hope, is that our Congress up in D.C. can actually get their spending under control and work towards balancing their own budget. But what that's going to mean is we're just going to have less funny money flowing down to states. So, you know, there's going to be – it might feel to some folks as if there's less money coming to Florida, our budget's being severely restricted, and it's really just a course correction from you know what we've seen since COVID. But for the next year or two, that's what we're going to be focusing on, is trying to get our house in order for the, you know, for the future, so that when, like, these good times do actually start to slow down with our population increasing and our income increasing, we'll be prepared for it, and we won't have the goldfish won't have grown so big that it gets choked by its own fishbowl, kind of thing.
There you go. Hey, I know you have drafted a bill called Hillary's Law to address the complicated process that you have to go through to file a medical malpractice complaint against a doctor. Talk about that bill for a minute.
Well, so it's a bill that came about from the circumstances around Hillary Brown. Unfortunately, because of my appointment as the healthcare budget chair, I won't be able to file it myself. I can't file bills in related to healthcare in my position, but it was something I've worked on with Hillary and her family. It's going to work to address a lot of things that the U.S. Medical Association sees as standard practice or best practice that we as a state just haven't incorporated. So, you know, things like operating on, you know, voluntary procedures on family members. Those are things that, you know, I naively thought were already on the books before, you know, before I heard about the circumstance. So we're just going to go work and try and find some common sense solutions. And I'm working on finding a new House sponsor and a Senate sponsor. And, you know, I'll have more updates soon.
Excellent. That's a great example of representing the interest of our folks over here in the second district. Hey, I'm going to throw you an easy one. Florida State bird is the mockingbird. There's been a bill filed to make it the flamingo. So what do you, there are no flamingos in Northwest Florida. So what do you think about that?
It's the funniest fight you can imagine. And if you know anything about the NRA in Florida, there was a legendary lobbyist for the longest time named Marion Hammer, who was a lobbyist for the NRA, and she also had a very special affinity for the mockingbird. And so in previous fights, when legislators wanted to change the state bird from the mockingbird to, say, like the scrub jay, which is a native Florida bird, the NRA would actually take an official position on it.
Oh, my goodness.
It's the one and only time the NRA has taken positions on something other than firearms in the Second Amendment, but Marion Hammer cared very much about the mockingbird, and she defended it vigorously.
Well, we'll see where that goes. I've always said there's no flamingos up here, so why? You know, I did see a flamingo here after one of the hurricanes. It blew some flamingos up here. I have a picture of them on Pensacola Beach, and one right across from Baskerville Donovan on Main Street. There were two flamingos out there in that empty lot after one of the hurricanes. But that's the only time I've seen a flamingo in Northwest Florida. Hey, real quick, you are entering your last term. And so what's next for Alex Andrade?
Spending more time with my family and spending more time at my day job. That's about it. I mean, I felt called to do this job, and I felt called to do this job for some very specific reasons. I don't feel called to do anything else. And I'm entering that stage in my life where I have a young daughter. She's 2 years old this month, and I have a second on the way, and I want to be home with my family.
There you go. That's a great answer, Alex. We appreciate you, and thank you for all you do for Northwest Florida, and now thank you for all you're doing for the state of Florida. Let's go to John Pickens with Traffic on the Fives.
Thanks, John.
Chris Foster. President Biden's ordering the early release of federal prisoners convicted of nonviolent drug crimes.
President Biden saying this latest clemency action is an important step in correcting sentencing disparities after commuting the sentence of nearly 2,500 people convicted of nonviolent drug offenses who he says are serving disproportionately long sentences compared to the sentences they would receive today under current law.
Fox's Chanley Painter. It's now 27 deaths confirmed in Los Angeles area wildfires. Evacuation orders are lifted for some neighborhoods.
LA County Sheriff Robert Luna noting there's debris and that burned slopes may be unstable.
Our people, along with all of our partners, are doing the best job that they possibly can.
With the National Weather Service warning dangerous fire conditions could return to the region next week.
Fox's Kristen Goodwin. Israel's Security Cabinet recommends accepting a ceasefire deal with Hamas. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning, 8:31 at News Radio 92.3. I'm David Wayne. Sunshine right now. We've got 45 degrees in Pensacola. A high school student in Jay was arrested for having a weapon this week. That happened Wednesday. The sheriff's office says the weapon was found during a search of the student's vehicle. They say students and staff at the school were not in danger. The weapon and other items were confiscated during a search. Well, after being closed for almost 2 years, the city of Pensacola now making plans to reopen Bay Bluffs Park after the state awarded $2.2 million to Conservation Florida and to the city for the project.
I think it's kind of been a long time coming. There's a lot of people in the public that have been wanting this for, I don't know, it's been over 2 years now, I think, since the park's been closed. And while it's still getting some use, I think a lot of people are excited to be able to use it legally sometime soon. And I'm excited to see the public input sessions and what we hear from the public about what they want to see there.
Councilman Casey Jones, and the plan is to start the design phase for the park this spring, then break ground sometime next year. The council approved a resolution to allow Conservation Florida to distribute the funds to the city. That was approved unanimously last night. Ground was broken on the new Memorial Plaza that'll sit outside of the Escambia Sheriff's Office yesterday. A groundbreaking ceremony held on Thursday.
Well, all along we had hoped we could have it done by our Law Enforcement Memorial Week, which is the middle of May. That's rather ambitious, but it's while we were out there were some people looking at some right away and make sure that the measurements are right. So we our ambitious goal is to have it ready by or have a groundbreaking. I'm sorry, the ribbon cutting done by the Law Enforcement Memorial, which is the middle of May.
Escambia Sheriff Chip Simmons, he says the community really stepped up to get this done. He said contractors have offered to work on the memorial at big discounts or even no charge. The community also stepped up to fund it. That plaza is estimated to cost about $500,000 by the time it's all said and done, but it is being entirely funded through the Sheriff's Office Foundation. No tax money is being used. There were more than 200 people on hand for the ceremony yesterday. Well, State Attorney General Ashley Moody has now officially been named to replace Marco Rubio in the Senate. She said she was honored to be appointed, but she did say she's a little apprehensive about going to Washington.
You're probably right. I probably won't like it. But I'm ready to show up and fight for this nation and fight for President Trump to deliver the American First agenda on day one. Hey!
Governor DeSantis making the announcement yesterday at a press conference in Orlando. He said Florida needs a senator that knows the importance of fighting illegal immigration. The state of Florida now being sued over its attempt to ban DEI on college campuses. The ACLU of Florida announced it had filed a federal lawsuit yesterday challenging Senate Bill 266 on behalf of six college professors. That law passed in 2023. It bans colleges and universities from funding DEI programs. The ACLU says it curtails academic freedom and violates the First Amendment. University of Florida political science professor Dr. Sharon Austin is the lead plaintiff in the case. She says it's about preserving the right to learn and teach without political interference. 8:35 at News Radio, and John Pickens has our traffic on the fives.
That's right. No accidents to let you know about right now. Looks like I-10, I-110 are flowing smoothly. The only delays I see are if you're traveling southbound on the Garcelon Point Bridge. They're doing construction work there, so they're opening a lane, closing a lane, opening and closing. So I'd build an extra 10 to 15 minutes into your commute time. Other than that, traffic looks good. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Thank you very much. John, now our Channel 3 weather.
This is meteorologist Brooke Richardson with your first morning weather update. We are going to be seeing a beautiful day with mostly sunny skies today, high near 64 degrees. Overnight tonight, temperatures dropping near 57. On Saturday, rain chances move in as we head into the morning through the afternoon. 70% chance of rain, high near 66. Saturday night, temperatures dropping near 42. On Sunday, sunshine returning with a high near 52. Temperatures dropping Sunday night into the 20s, 25 degrees, waking up Monday morning. Stay connected to Channel 3 News First Morning Weather Team. Download the WEAR-TV weather app. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Morning Weather Center.
Thank you very much, Brooke. And right now it's 45 in Pensacola, 40 in Gulf Breeze, 38 in Milton. Your money now. This morning, markets are up at the opening bell. The Dow's up 317 points at 43,469. S&P up 52 points at 59,89. The NASDAQ up just under 300 points this morning at 19,634. President-elect Trump reportedly is now looking for ways he could save TikTok before a ban takes effect this weekend.
What President Trump has asked for is a little more time in order to negotiate.
Senator John Cornyn says that he'd support the social media site so long as there's no links to the Chinese Communist Party. TikTok, of course, is their parent company, is based in China. There are laws there that give the government access to private data. United Health Group CEO says problems with the country's healthcare system do need to be addressed in the first earnings call since the deadly shooting of executive Brian Thompson in Manhattan. New CEO Andrew Witty said yesterday that there are flaws driving up the costs of healthcare for people across the country. He blamed the private sector and the government. And the breakup of the SpaceX Starship after launch affected a few airline flights yesterday. The several flights near the Turks and Caicos Islands in the Caribbean were forced to divert Thursday because of the rocket's falling debris. The Starship rocket broke up in the atmosphere about 9 minutes after a launch from Texas. It's 8:38. Our next news at 9 and breaking news anytime. I'm David Wayne for News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
Are you hungry for news that keeps you informed, is local and dependable? Look no further than News Radio Pensacola on 92.3, 95.3, and on AM 1620. We're your trusted source for all the latest happenings in the Emerald Coast. From breaking news to in-depth reports, we've got you covered. Our team of experienced journalists brings you the stories that matter most to our community. Stay connected with local events, weather updates, and traffic reports, ensuring you're always one step ahead. We're News Radio Pensacola. Informative, local, dependable.
President Trump wants to cut $2 trillion from the federal budget, and I have the plan that gets him there. I'm Greg Merk, Republican for Congress. We have over 3 million federal employees. I will propose to cut them in half. This reduction will save $150 billion on salaries and an additional $150 billion in benefits. We need to cut off the cash payments to illegals, and they will self-deport. I will propose Medicare reform, regulation cuts, and repealing the Davis-Bacon Act. With a background in finance, I know how to fix Washington and get the $2 trillion in cuts. We live in the most military district in America. I served over 2 decades on active duty as a Navy pilot and Air Force B-1 pilot, with multiple tours in Iraq and Afghanistan. It's critical we send a combat-tested leader to Washington who understands the needs of our service members and retirees, and no one in this race has more military experience than me. Fact is, we have the plan, but we need the will. Send me to Washington, and not only will the people want it, they will demand it. It's time to send the Alpha to Washington. It's time to put Merck to work. I'm Greg Merk, and I approve this message.
Paid for by Greg Merk for Congress.
Ugh, I've just been feeling so sluggish lately.
You should try the Metamucil 2-Week Challenge.
The Metamucil 2-Week Challenge?
Yeah, Metamucil 4-in-1 Fiber helps trap and remove the waste that weighs you down. Start your daily routine now, and in 2 weeks, you could be feeling great. Well, it's been 2 weeks. How you feeling?
Lighter and feeling great.
If you want to feel lighter by promoting digestive health, sign up to take the 2-week challenge at Metamucil.com. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
Everybody jump! Jump, 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 jump!
I said a hip, hop, the hip, it, hip, 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 hop, you don't stop.
Rap, rap, rap.
I will definitely call you back later then.
Come on, wrap it up.
Big circle it up.
Okay, you know what? Wrap up the circle thing. Come on.
Commissioner Parker, wrap it up, please.
Okay.
Okay, everybody, that's a wrap.
Wrap it up.
Good morning, Pensacola. I'm John Hutchinson filling in for Andrew McKay. I'm glad you've joined us this morning. It's Friday, and so that means it's time for the wrap, where we have some community leaders in, and we wrap about different things going on in the community. I want to hear these two rap this morning. So we are very happy this morning to have with us J.T. Young and Shirley Cronley. J.T. Young is the Vice President and General Manager for FP&L here in Northwest Florida. So good morning, J.T.
Good morning, John. Good
morning. Glad to have you here.
Great to be here.
And then we've got the Queen of the Tourism Development Council, Shirley Cronley. Good morning, Shirley.
Good morning, John.
We're glad you're here, too. Shirley's got a long list of things. I'm not going to read them all because it'd take me 2 days. But she is on the board of the Tourism Development Council, Mr. Robbins Neighborhood, Ronald McDonald House. But she won the Living the Dream Award a few years ago, and that's given to the person who most represents Martin Luther King's dream. And you know, of course, Monday is Martin Luther King Day. We're going to have the parade. And the person who most represents his ideas for racial unity, Shirley, you were given that award. I think you want to make sure we talk a little bit about Monday as well.
Exactly. I know the community has a number of different activities for in celebration of Martin Luther King. On Saturday night, there will be another Living the Dream event. And I'm telling you, it is such an inspiring event because they honor a number of people. And hearing what people are doing in our community is amazing. On Saturday night with the Living a Dream event, Roy Jones will be honored for what he does for Pensacola. Chief Eric Randall, and there's about another six or seven that will be that will be honored, and it's a wonderful event.
It's a great event. It's the one event we do every year where I think it means a lot in terms of how people interact with other people in our community. And I'm very proud to live in Pensacola because we do things like this and because we promote racial harmony and we promote people getting along with each other and we promote people doing good things in the community. And everything from Impact 100 to all the different organizations we have, I think the Living the Dream Award is very much an integral part of who we are. And congratulations for you winning. That's been very deserved.
Wow,
and we'll see who this year's winners are, and we'll go from there.
Thank you, John.
JT.
Yes, sir.
You and I worked at Gulf Power Company for many years.
Yes, we did.
You left. You went to Memphis, and now FPNL has brought you back. Thank goodness.
Grateful to be back in the community.
Lots of changes from when you left. So how are you settling in?
Well, so far, so good. The beautiful thing, kind of echoing what you just said, John, Pensacola is a great place to live. My heart's been here. I'm born and raised here, grew up here, and love the community. So when the opportunity presented itself for Deidre and I to come back, it was just what a blessing. So we could not have been more excited to get back to Pensacola.
Excellent. And you're filling a much-needed role at FPNL in terms of in the community. I think when they bought Gulf Power Company, I don't know if they didn't realize or didn't dawn on them how integral and how integrated Gulf Power was in the community. And the customers pretty much let them know that we expect you to be at the table and we expect you to be involved in the community. And so that's JT's role. And he was great at it when he was here before, and he's doing a great job again. And we appreciate FPNL bringing you here.
Thank you, John.
So good to have you here this morning, JT. The city, that's all the nice things we're going to do. So, the city is doing a survey of residents. They want input on parking. They want input on downtown, homeless people. So if you were filling out that survey, and you may, what kind of input would you give the city council on where we can improve in the city of Pensacola? Shirley, I'll start with you.
Okay. I'm a city resident, so I am filling out that survey. Parking, I understand the urgency and the need for doing something with our parking. My big concern on the parking situation that we have now and everything being paid is I think about my mom. I think about people that don't use their smartphone and really don't know how to use. What do they do?
Yeah.
So it's a concern, and I don't know how they fix it.
Yeah, that is a concern. If you don't have a smartphone, you're in a tight spot there. Mm-hmm. So, all right, let's go to John Pickens with traffic on the fives, and then we'll jump back in.
No accidents to let you know about right now. I-10, I-110 are flowing smoothly. The only delays I'm seeing is construction on the Garcelon Point Bridge, which is kind of delaying both the northbound and southbound lanes. So just be aware of that. That's going to add maybe an extra 10, 15 minutes to your commute. Other than that, traffic's rolling smoothly. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Thank you, John. We're talking about the survey that the city is going to do of residents, and parking, of course, will be an issue. You know, when they first started all this, I have a smartphone, and I'm pretty good at it, I think, because I have two sons who show me how to do everything. Mm-hmm. I thought, I'm going to have to download an app, and I'm going to have to go down and try and figure this out, and what if the app doesn't work, and I got to give them my credit card, and I've got to do all these things, and it's going to be complicated. But I tell you, it was one of the easiest things I've ever done.
It truly is.
Once I got the app and parked and figured out how to do it, it is no problem at all. I mean, obviously, they're going to take some money from you, but even that, they make that painless. You can extend it if you want, and I think the first hour is free. Yeah,
I think it is, too.
On certain times, so it is not difficult. So don't let it scare you. Don't let technology scare you. It's not difficult, and so I hope they get that kind of input on the survey. JT, what kind of information would you give the city on a survey like that?
Well, you know, I'm a city resident as well, and I am just excited to see the city doing so many great things to make things better. I really appreciate that. That's one of the things I recognize, having lived elsewhere and come back, to see that the city is really trying to make strides in moving forward
And that's great to see. And the harmony in the community, I think, is unique. I can tell you that from having lived elsewhere. That's a unique thing about this community. And to your point, parking is always an opportunity no matter where you live. That was a challenge where I was in Memphis. It was a challenge when I was living other places. But I think they're trying to make things better. And I would say that to Shirley's point, the easier it can be for folks who may be challenged, whether it's with technology or other, that the better. I think that would just be an add-on. But I do think that it's very convenient now and getting better. Certainly challenges are still out there and just anything. When you're trying to make something better, you're going to hit obstacles. And I think that's going to be the – but the goal is they're improving, and mm-hmm. I think that's good.
Yeah, I agree with all of that. They're very focused, too, on the homeless situation. Any input you might have on that? How do you solve that, Shirley?
I wished I knew. It's a million-dollar question for not only our community, but every community.
Yeah.
I think that the Pensacola Police do a great job in helping to pick homeless up and taking them to Waterfront Mission, mm-hmm. or if they don't want to go to Waterfront Mission for whatever reason, giving them a blanket.
Yeah.
So there are efforts being made, but how you eliminate it, I don't know that you can.
Yeah, I don't think there's one solution either.
I don't think you
have to have multiple things going on, and we do. We talked with a lady this morning who runs Fearless Community Resource Center, which is a nonprofit. They get no money from the government, and they're running a great facility over on S Street. So solutions like that, things like that, I think will all help.
Mm-hmm.
All right, it's a new year. So New Year's resolutions, JT.
So is it past January 12th yet?
Yes.
Oh, okay. Well, then I don't have any to report.
Well, today is actually a ditch your New Year's resolution day.
Oh, is
so
it? So
you've already, you did it early. So
yeah, I mean, you know, why wait?
Shirley, any New Year's resolutions?
No. Listen, I ditched mine early too. So,
so when you're perfect, you don't have to, do any resolutions. I understand that. So Jimmy Patronis, state treasurer, has been endorsed by Trump. To replace Matt Gaetz. He's not from our district. Does that bother you, JT?
You know, I don't know how that all will shake out. I think what we are certainly hopeful for is that whomever is the new representative for our area would be someone who has the interest of this district and this area at heart, be that Patronus or whomever it might be. And I think that would be the goal, to represent us well with integrity and, you know, the kind of leadership that I think is needed. I think that would be great to see, and whomever is selected or is voted in for that, that would be great.
Yeah. Shirley, your thoughts?
Yeah, I totally agree with JT. I think that Patronus, since Trump has endorsed him, I would stand to think that he would be a very viable candidate, and working with the president and the administration, I think he could be good. I think that there's not a way to exclude our community. We're too valuable to the district and so forth. So I think we've got enough people and enough leadership that will keep him engaged in what we're doing.
Okay, yeah. We've got 10 candidates running.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. He does not live in the district. We had Robert Bender on earlier, and Robert Bender enlightened me. There is no requirement when you run for Congress to live in the district. You can live anywhere in Florida. So, JT, you could run for U.S. Senate in Miami.
Yeah, okay. Well, wait on that. You keep waiting on that. Okay.
But so I hope that's not an issue. I mean, early voting starts tomorrow. The thing, I think, the positive for being endorsed by Trump is that that shows that he might be able to bring home the bacon. That's the way they say it.
Mm-hmm.
If Trump endorses him, Trump will be listening to him. And that's always valuable. But we've got other candidates, too, who I think have done a great job in the past, who would make great candidates. We've got 10 candidates, so nobody's going to get a majority.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll see how that goes. But
yeah,
it is a little bit different in that Trump is endorsing Jimmy Patronis. And I'm not saying that's good or bad. I'm saying there's some good things about it and some other things that make people scratch their heads.
Mm-hmm.
I think he'll do a good job. I've known Jimmy for a long time. And if you want a good piece of snapper, just go to Captain Anderson's.
Yeah, in Panama City.
And they'll
yeah,
fix you up in Panama
Absolutely.
City. So this is not about Jimmy Patronis in particular. It's about do we vote for somebody just because Trump endorsed him, and that's a question you'll have to answer. But I don't think that disqualifies him, not from a legal standpoint or from a in our mindset standpoint at all. So, but thanks for your thoughts on that. All right, if you had to rename the Gulf of Mexico, JT, what would you name it? And don't say it, the Gulf of FPNL.
Yeah. Well, I'm not sure I'd rename it at this point. I'm not even sure how that happens, to be honest with you. I grew up, you know, taking the classes where we learned the names of the oceans and the bay. And I mean, somebody did that long ago. I'm not sure how easy that would be to do now. I actually have no clue what I would rename it. I mean, the Gulf, you know what I mean? If you're from around here, you just call it the Gulf.
The Gulf.
And so, or the Gulf Coast, you talk about the Gulf Coast, you don't really even talk any further than that. So that might be it, just the Gulf.
The Gulf.
Yeah.
I had a conversation on Facebook one time with a lady from, I think she was from Ohio, and she kept talking about the ocean. Yeah, we had a house right on the ocean, and I said, well, it's actually the Gulf of Mexico. And she says, well, it is an ocean. We can call it an ocean. I said, you could call it an ocean.
You can.
That's how we know you're not from here.
That's right.
when you
That's
call
right.
it an ocean.
Yeah.
So Shirley, any thoughts?
No, not really. I totally agree with what JT's saying. I feel like that it would be very challenging to try to change it.
Yeah.
And, I mean, it would be wonderful to be Gulf of Pensacola, but I just don't think that will happen.
Yeah, I don't either. There is a national registry, I understand, that names things like that.
Oh, okay.
But I don't know why we would. Mm-mm. I mean, Mexico, we talked about this earlier, has more coastline on the Gulf than the United States does. It was named long before the United States was even thought of.
Right.
It was named back when the Spanish had established Mexico and then named it the Gulf of Mexico because there was nothing else around it except Mexico. So I don't think that's going to happen. I just wonder why Trump throws those kinds of things out there just to get the conversation going. But anyhow, it is interesting. So, all right, Monday night, National College Football Championship. JT, Notre Dame or Ohio State?
You know, I'm going to say Notre Dame because they're two great teams, right?
Yep.
They've proven that. They're two great teams. But as a Gator, I've grown to not like Ohio State because I'm Florida. We had our bouts with Ohio State before, but they're great. I respect both those teams. They've done a great job this year. Seems like there's a lot of excitement on the Notre Dame side. They've got a quarterback that's from Fairhope who's relatively local, right? So that gives me a reason to lean that way. But I think this will be a great game. Just hopefully it's a great game. Hopefully it's not a blowout or a game that ends 6-3 or something like that. Hopefully it's just a great game. And just good to see that that the two of them have gotten to this point. So.
Yeah. Shirley?
I, too, would like to see Notre Dame win. And I, too, am a Gator, so don't want
How did
Ohio
I do
State.
That? How did I get
you,
two you, Gators
you
in here?
You didn't know what you were doing, John.
That's
See,
right.
You just didn't
and,
know.
In a year when Florida beat LSU.
That's right.
I know.
That's exactly right.
Can we start over, John?
But I'm after watching Ohio State in the division rounds, they seem to be very, very strong. And but I was at the Sugar Bowl, and Notre Dame seems to be very strong, too. So I think they have the passion. Ohio State, though, I'm not sure if they're going to make it. I mean, I kind of have a feeling they may pull it out.
Yeah.
Let's go to John Pickens with traffic on the fives.
No accidents to let you know about right now. I-10, I-110 are flowing very smoothly this morning. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Thank you, John. Talking about football, let's stay with that for just a minute. Ohio State, I think, is an 8.5-point favorite. And they've looked really strong every game they play. They've just kind of blown people off the field. So, but Notre Dame has done very well as well. And like JT said, we have a local guy from Fairhope, Alabama, the Fairhope Pirates, who's doing really well with Notre Dame. So it'd be nice to see them win as well. What about the new 12-team playoff? There's no SEC team in the national championship. The SEC, Michigan won last year. A Big Ten team or an independent team will win this year. What's that mean for the Florida Gators, Shirley?
Well,
the SEC.
You know, I'm very pro SEC because, well, the Gators are there, but also it is a strong division. And every week when they're playing a conference game, they're beating up on each other big time.
Yeah.
And no one else has that sort of, no other conference has that sort of talent in it.
Yeah.
So, but SEC's going to, you know, we've been at the big dance for a long time, and we're not there this year, and so it's challenging. NIL has changed everything.
No question about that. The whole thing has changed, and there's talk about changing the 12-team playoff and all those things. And I think it's going to continue to evolve to some super conference at some point. JT, what about the 12-team playoff?
Well, they're trying to make it better than it used to be. I know that's the goal. It seems like every time there's an improvement, there's also a criticism about it, you know, because of who doesn't get in. And so there's always that. But I think, to your point, Shirley talked about NIL, I think the portal has made a difference as well. You know, you don't have players staying around as long. So there's a lot of, you know, coaching at any team now should be probably a challenge because you can't really determine who you're going to have long term. So I wish them all the best and would love to see the SEC make it. Florida, I'm tell you, everybody needs to watch out for Florida next year. It was the second half of the season this year. I don't think anybody wanted to play Florida.
You beat Ole Miss, you beat LSU.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right.
Sorry, John. John's an Ole Miss.
So keep your eyes open for the Gators.
Watch out for the Gators.
Yeah.
I'll have to listen to Danny Zimmer. I don't understand that.
Danny's my classmate. We go way back. So
he's a great guy. His daughter, you know where his daughter went to college, though, don't you?
Who? No.
LSU.
That's right. That's right.
So there you go. Hey, it's going to be in the 20s next week.
Yep.
It's going to be cold, maybe some snow. JT, so what's FP&L doing?
We had some cold weather last week. I know customers experienced that. We really want to make sure customers understand how important it is to stay safe and warm during this time. I'll add one quick thing before I talk specifically. Be sure to check on elderly family members, neighbors, friends, others who may not be as aware and able. So make sure you look out for them and your pets as well. But we recommend customers during this time, keep their thermostats at 68 degrees if possible. Every degree below 68, you'll save about 5% on your energy bill. And if you're going to adjust your thermostat, we recommend not to adjust it by more than 2 degrees because, you know, you can turn on that auxiliary heat or the heat strips. And if the heat strips run for 12 hours a day, that can be $15 per day added to the energy bill. So we recommend that customers and also remember, the colder it is, the longer your unit's going to run. At whatever temperature you set it at. So if it's 20 degrees, it's going to take longer to keep 68 than if it's 50 degrees outside. So keep that in mind. And then lastly, space heaters, keep them. If you have one, use that, but be safe with it. Keep pets and children away from them. Turn them off when you leave the room. And, you know, certainly electric blankets can be helpful too. But just be safe during this time and stay comfortable.
Thank you, JT. We got 30 seconds. Shirley, cold weather, like it or hate it?
Hate it. Yeah. Well, I don't hate it, but no, I like the sunshine and I like the warm weather. So I could take below 60 starts to wear on me. So.
Hey, thank you, Shirley Cronley. Thank you, JT Young, for being in the studio today for the wrap. This is John Hutchison filling in for Andrew McKay. See you down the street.